W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH. The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy, howdy, hi. Howdy, howdy, ho. Howdy, howdy, hey, hey. Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're back.
What up? What up?
We're back with another week of shows. Hope everybody is good. Jason's back with us. Hello, Jason.
What's going down?
And Kareem, as always.
I'm back in black.
There we go. Back and black or back in black?
Both.
Okay.
Oh, shit. There's been some developments, folks. I'm just
kidding. Oh, boy. Coming up on the show today, we got some bad news about Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. No. Turns out, not the greatest.
I don't want to hear it.
Well, you're going to hear it because we're going to get into it. Plus, proposing while black. That's another problem that we didn't know we had. Why y'all gotta be proposing to each other in public?
I don't even know.
And we gotta, I just titled this one, Bishop Be Crazy. This is a lot to get to. But before we get to all of that, just want to let everybody know, shows may be a little bit shorter going forward. We have adjusted our schedules. So we start recording a little bit later to make things a little bit easier for family time for all of us. So we're probably going to keep it around 30-ish minutes instead of 40, 45, which is where we were. And we may be doing some other things going forward. It's an exciting time here around Darling New Media as we prepare for the soft launch of the business in August.
Boom.
Soft opening in August.
Yay.
Very, very soft opening. Like a kitten. Soft like a kitten.
Soft.
We're so proud of you, Nate.
And so we've got a lot of stuff going on. I have a meeting with someone actually coming in tomorrow to discuss becoming a member here at Darling New Media. As we record this, by the time you hear it, we will have already had the meeting. And someone I met at a networking event who was very excited, and we're going to see about getting them on board with their own podcast and get things going forward. This Saturday, we're having a by invite only run through of the intro to podcasting class so we can work out any bugs and all of that happy stuff so that when we actually have the class for people, we've vetted through everything. Mm-hmm. You know, 'cause sometimes you're like, oh yeah, that all makes sense. And when you give it to somebody, they're like, well, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
That seems weird to me. So we're going to be ironing out all of our stuff here over the next little bit as we prepare for a full bore launch for September. But if you're hearing this and you're in the Sacramento area, I consider you friends and family. So you are more than welcome at the soft launch in August. If you would like to do a podcast or you've got photo video needs, reach out through darlingnewmedia.com. You can email me, Nate@darlingnewmedia.com, and we can talk about how to get you set up. But we're not advertising. No matter how many times the guy from Yelp calls me.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not advertising yet.
Hey, but don't you want to get in the pipeline? Don't you want to get like a spot made? Like, listen, you don't want somebody else to take your name.
Dude, so Leslie says you want to get on Yelp. And I'm thinking, do I want to get on Yelp? And she says, yeah, you want to get on Yelp. I said, okay. So I'm on Yelp. And
do you want to claim this business?
Oh, no, that's all done. That's all done. They already have moved on. They called like less than 8 hours after I got everything set up.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the way it works.
To sell ads.
Yeah. It's called a hard lead.
Only going to take 5 minutes. 10 minutes later and eight times of me going, I have 1,000 things to do. I do not have time for this right now. I had to hang up on the guy from Yelp. Had to hang up. 30 seconds later, ding, got an email. Great talking to you this morning. Really? Because I hung up on you because you wouldn't listen.
How about I give you a 1-star, bro?
Oh no, that's how the whole Yelp thing starts. Every time you hang up on a Yelp sales guy, you lose a star.
Yeah.
Whoops. Oh well.
Whoops. This guy was a jerk.
Yeah.
AKA, I work at Yelp too.
Yeah, everybody works
at Yelp. And it was hard selling.
Everybody works at Yelp. So. Shh,
don't tell them.
Yeah. That's what I got one thing to say to people at Yelp.
Hey!
Yeah. Not this.
Fuck yourself.
That is not what I want to say to the people at Yelp.
Okay.
No.
That's good.
No, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. What I tried to say today was...
Goodbye.
But he wouldn't listen, so I had to hang up the phone.
Well, at least he enjoyed the conversation.
Well, sure. Either that or it's right in that email template that they send out immediately after the phone system hangs up. Oh, it
could be that also.
Yeah, could be. Could be. It's all automatic. So, Jason, let's start with you. You were away. How was your week?
My week's been pretty crazy. Well, it was like this last weekend, it was 105 here in Sacramento.
Sure was.
And we have a swamp cooler at my house. So that means that even with the swamp cooler going, it still would have been like a nice, hot, balmy, like 95 in our house, 90, you know.
Sweet.
So we decided, because if we're all, I mean, we can keep it at that temperature like all day. Like we can keep it at 75 if nobody's in there. But if you're in there watching TV and that you're generating heat, you're going to get the house heated up. So... Anyhow, so we drove.
Do you have a coal-fired TV? What's going on?
No, it's just all the stuff inside. Like, if you don't have air conditioning in your house,
right?
Like that stuff. Put your hand behind your TV after it's been on for 2 hours and see that there's some heat there.
Okay.
Okay. And then you have the heat that each human being puts out.
I think that's really it.
Yeah, that's probably it more than anything else.
The heat dripping off your balls.
So anyhow, so we got out of town. I mean, we also went to go see my father. My stepdad had hip surgery last Monday.
Oh.
So we went out and got him lunch. I went and saw him, hung out with him in Dublin. So it was an hour and a half drive. I have done so much driving in the last like week and a half, like driven all around New York.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, people talk about how you need a car to live, like, anywhere in, like, California, like, in certain areas of California, like, L.A. and stuff like that. You really need a car. Like, mm-hmm. You really need a car in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah, there's no way to not have a car.
I mean, it's the north of the south. I mean, it's south of the north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. So, anyhow, did a lot of driving. So we did that, and then we went up to Donner Lake on Sunday to get up out of the heat because it was so hot.
So your wife, the scientist, lied to your child about the Donner Party?
Well, she starts telling the story. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, lady? Like,
yeah, don't tell the story.
Don't tell a story of the Donner Party.
Now you have to lie.
Yeah, like, and like she's like telling it, and she's telling it. And
how
like,
old is your daughter?
2.5, almost 3.
Why is your wife... telling your almost 3-year-old about people eating other people on a mountain?
No, she didn't. She didn't say that. She said it was fruit snacks. She said that they ate a bunch of fruit snacks.
That's how they got through the winter.
That's how they got through the winter.
Except most of them didn't make it.
She was, yeah. But I was like, oh my gosh, Chris.
Why does she even need to explain that to a 3-year-old?
Because we were up in Donner. Like, she thought it was, she thought it would be silly. She thought she was being silly.
Because she's a scientist, so she needs to explain stuff to people.
She needed to torture her
She didn't torture her. It was fine. I tortured her more.
Ends up in your bed for the next 3 months. No,
she's not. It's been good like that. I also had a father moment on the plane like that where I was letting her look through. She was at my father-in-law had given me a couple of issues of the National. So I had a couple of those issues and I had one out and I was going to be reading it. And I was like, I looked through it and it's not like there's any, it's articles, a few small pictures. And it's very left leaning when it comes to politics. Right. Possibly. I don't know. That's what I got the figure of. Well, she wanted to look at it. So I let her look at it while I'm going through the bag to get something else. And she opens it up and like she finds one page and it has detainees on it, like in a detention facility. Like, and it's a dad with his little daughter, and the little daughter is like her, like she is like freaked out, her like scared and sad, like horrific picture, a scary picture. Mm-hmm. And she looks at it and she says, there's monsters. There's a monster. And like was pointing at the shadow, like through the bars of the ICE officer. And I was just like, fuck. I've already fucked up as a dad.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah, between you and your wife. Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I take that back, not 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah. No, no. But, you know, it's funny because I think that that's kind of the way that the first kid is kind of like you, like by the second kid, I don't know, you realize like, oh, yeah, they're going to find that one page with the detainees on it. But at the same time, she sees stuff on TV and natural. I mean, there's, it's not that bad. So that's what my last week's been like. This has been going on.
Cool. Kareem, do you have any, I know you've had a hell of a week. I don't expect you to share the whole thing here. Maybe you had something good happen this week.
Oh man.
Any good news for you?
I didn't kill anybody this week. That might be the best news as well.
Nice.
Even though a couple of people tried to make me kill him, like the dude who rode his bicycle out in front of me, and I had to slam on my brakes to keep from hitting them. That was yesterday.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Yeah.
But let me see. We're getting ready to go to North Carolina the night that the show drops.
Right.
Yeah. So we're taking my girlfriend back to North Carolina for the first time. I'm a little nervous about that right now.
Is she going to get to go to a rally?
She might get to go to a Klan rally.
Oh, man.
You know, especially since, they, you know, they dropping the N-word in restaurants and going on TV and being proud of it.
Oh, yeah. We'll be talking about that on a show, not this show, the next show.
You know, I'm like,
I'm not racist. I just say racist things.
Yes. Let's put that in our pocket. We'll talk about that on Friday.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know. Now, I kind of want to be a fly on the wall. I kind of wish I could be a fly on the wall for the visit.
Right.
Because it's going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My folks are really nice people, but they say whatever the fuck comes to mind.
So what you need to do is you need to tell your girlfriend, I need you to do a confession cam like they do on reality shows.
Yeah.
And so basically every now and then she'll just need to steal away a little time in like a bedroom or a bathroom and just address the camera about something that just happened. Because I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if she'll do it. Well, I might bring it up. But yeah, it's...
No, that you do it. You just get her, like, after something happens where you definitely, like, oh, I need to get a reaction on this. This is going to be your next project. Like, this is going to be your next project. You say, okay, I need you to... You should tell me.
Yeah.
Family visits.
Yeah. So, and then for, you know, the people that don't know out there, my girlfriend's white and I'm black. So I'm taking her to North Carolina to meet my Southern family. I said, my folks are really nice. They embrace everybody, but they say whatever the fuck comes to their mind.
Sure.
And usually when they're really about to say something really fucked up, it's, I don't mean no harm, but.
Yeah.
And anything else that comes out after that, it's probably something really personal and probably describes something either you said, did, or the way you look.
Okay. Here's the white/North version of that. I'm not cruel. I don't say mean things. I just tell it like it is. I heard that on Smothered, the season finale of Smothered this past week. I just tell it like it is. You know that that person?
Yeah.
Asshole. because sometimes you just don't need to tell it. You can keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Or as the crazy lady said, you know, we were taught to wait until you got home to talk about other people like that.
Yeah.
I think that that's the thing that everybody's forgotten.
Yeah. So it's what social media has done to us, really.
but generally within the family, when you say the shit, it's usually hilarious.
Sure.
But to an outsider,
sure.
I don't know how it goes over.
Well, and you also don't necessarily want it to go over too. Like you don't want an outsider laughing at your family jokes that it's, you know, that only family, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care who you are, if you're my wife or whatever, but like, when your family, it's a little different. Why are you laughing at that?
We laughing at, yeah. Except nobody's safe in the family. Like nobody. Like, we laugh at everybody about everything.
Yeah. All right. So my week was, it was a lot of being here at the business working on stuff. So I know that sounds like it's not super exciting. It is super exciting. And actually Saturday and Sunday, I did not come here. I did not come to the office. I did all the work from home because it was all background stuff.
Yeah.
You know, business documents and rate cards and other really exciting stuff.
Awesome.
All the exciting stuff that you want to hear about. So there was a lot of working on that. But yeah, it's good. One of the joys of having a 5-month-old at home is she's delighted by a lot of things. And my mother-in-law and my niece came to visit. And they spent a couple of days at the house, which was nice because I got a full day of grandma watching the kid.
Yeah.
And at one point.
So you got to watch porn.
No. I got to leave the house and come here. But at one point, so my niece is 7, I believe. Mm. She's going to second grade. And she's very loud and full of energy. And she's playing with the baby. And at one point, my sister-in-law comes here because she wants to see the business. And she's on her way over to pick up her daughter and her mom and stuff. And she calls her mom on speakerphone. And in the background, I hear my niece, who's really very loud and playful and all that. And over her, I hear the baby laughing. I hear the 5-month-old baby laughing enough to drown out the 7-year-old.
Wow.
Right? So that was a happy baby.
Yes.
So that's all you can ask for is happy baby.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a few hours of sleep.
Yeah.
So we're getting there.
Oh man.
So this past week, following up a lot of Trump stuff, but the interesting part of the people that have to go on TV afterward and defend everything that the president says, and sometimes they get called out for it.
Problem is that calling out the facts isn't going to be enough. That's the Kobach test. The Kobach test is even if this president said he was a racist, he might still support him if the alternative was you. So how do you counter that and win?
Well, I think, first of all, the strategy of trying to paint the Democrats as these four women, which clearly he's trying to do, recall effective. All Democrats, socialists, or any of that nonsense.
Effective.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's effective with his base, but he can't win with just his base if his base is defined by those who came out in 2018. You just had Harry on
the
Wizard of Odds. Yes.
Could you pause that for a second?
The fact is he's
One
got
second.
To expand from.
Yes.
So Chris Cuomo is being very disingenuous there because the fucking media are the ones who have supported Donald Trump in trying to make these four the face of the Democratic Party because they keep talking about them like they have a lot of power in the Democratic Party.
And they have no power. They have no real power.
So fuck you, Chris Cuomo, for that one.
So Jennifer Granholm, who is a former governor of Michigan, is the one who is first talking. But what we're getting to is the national press secretary for the Trump campaign, Kayleigh McEnany, who is going to address this.
From where he was in 2018, if he's going to win, he's got to hold everything he had in 2016. It's not going to work if this is the strategy. If racism is his strategy, if calling out people's fears is his strategy, that's not going to work among suburban women, among people of color, among those who came out in 2018, white people who are uncomfortable with a president who causes people to divide.
As Harry called out, though, Jennifer, you had 68% of white non-college voters didn't come out. In 2018. And these are people who have real fear, real economic insecurity.
Absolutely.
They have real disaffection. They feel abandoned by parties in general, and they appreciate this president as a disruptor of the norm. How do you get them?
Some of them do. Some of them are uncomfortable with being brushed as associating with a president who is clearly dividing America.
So
And we don't want them. Fuck you, Chris Cuomo.
We'll skip ahead to the defending.
Our ancestors came from another planet.
All right, let her answer, Jennifer. Let her answer.
American exceptionalism is people coming from other places to make this country special.
All right.
That is the birth of this country.
Let her answer. Kaylee, go ahead. What's your response?
Jennifer, since I had to be asked this absurd hypothetical at the start of this, will you condemn Ilhan Omar for not condemning Al-Qaeda?
She has not praised Al-Qaeda.
Apparently not.
No,
she won't condemn
Al-Qaeda. At least she answered your question. You wouldn't even answer my question, Kaylee. You have no high ground. Continue.
Wait, who are you asking?
She will not condemn Al-Qaeda. She won't condemn Al-Qaeda, but yet she criticizes the country.
I have no idea what she has said or not said about Al-Qaeda, but I do know she is an American citizen, and she has a representative district, and she is sent to Washington to serve her district. That woman is an American, and you can't
and
say
she says,
send
we,
her
she
home.
Says we are you, responsible are, for 9/11.
All right,
we
wait.
She says America.
I would remember,
you know what? I've grown tired of pretty blonde ladies yelling nonsense into TV cameras. That's something I never thought I'd have to say, but I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
So I'm tired of it.
How'd that all end?
But before you go past that.
Yes.
Something else I did this week. I went and heard Tim Wise speak. So Tim Wise is a person who he's on MSNBC sometimes. So me and him had a nice chat after his speech. But we talked about those people that they keep talking about. Fuck those people.
Oh, the non-college educated whites.
Yes. Fuck those people.
Well, I'm one of those people.
Well, they vote. That's the problem. You can say fuck those people all you want, but those people vote.
Yeah, they vote. But those people aren't coming back to the Democratic Party, no matter how much you try to pander to them. So what you really need to be doing is shoring up your people that actually will vote for you.
I think the point, though, is not to get them back. It's to have them come out to vote.
They're trying to get – look, you say that, but they're trying to get those people back. They keep pandering to those people. And what they're going to fuck around and do is they're going to keep pandering to those people. And the people like me who actually support are going to be like, fuck y'all. You ride with this motherfucker and let the country burn. That's what's going to happen.
Well, sure. That makes lots of sense. Moving on. A couple claims they were racially profiled during a marriage proposal to a New York orchard. Jason, you were in upstate New York recently. Dateline Walden, a man in the middle of asking his girlfriend to be his wife, was stopped mid-proposal at a New York farm, and the bride-to-be said the interruption was because they're black. Kathy Marie Hamlet said her fiancé and six friends drove from New York City to the Angry Orchard Farm. Well, there's your problem right there. To celebrate her fiancé's 40th birthday, but shortly after arriving, they were interrupted. Hamlet, who's 32, told NBC News that she and Clyde Jackson were sitting at a table outside the gift shop when a female security guard approached them, accused Jackson of stealing a T-shirt, and asked to check his back pocket. Said, my boyfriend then emptied all of his pockets while still trying to keep the ring box hidden from my sight. Then she walked away and my boyfriend and I sat down at the table and he began his proposal speech. But midway through, they were interrupted again. Said, she came back over to us. Now I need to search your purse. My bag was small and I couldn't have fit a T-shirt in it, but I emptied the contents of my purse anyway. After the second interruption, Hamlet said she asked the security guard what their motives were for approaching them. I told her that I knew she was just doing her job, but couldn't help but wonder if she kept coming back because we're black. We were the only black people there besides the three of friends who came along with us. She said, sorry, I didn't realize you were all part of the same party. I have to check all of your purses and pockets. At this point, five other security guards came over. Okay. It's not funny, but why are black people going to orchards? What's good?
I don't know.
Angry Orchard.
Angry Orchard. Living up to their name.
Upstate New York.
Angry Orchard.
This is like that area where people from New York City call it upstate, but it's not.
Motherfucker, upstate, right? It's upstate New York. No. It's out of the city. It's upstate New York. Stop trying to act like they're not racist people in upstate New York.
There are, for sure.
Once you get out of the city, the motherfuckers are racist. It's just like leaving Sacramento and getting to Roseville.
There's plenty of racists in the city, Kareem. Come on.
That too.
Come on. Donald Trump is from the city.
That's right.
Let's see how far out this is. I'm just going to quickly get this. It's sort of upstate, but it's south of Poughkeepsie. So for all of you who know New York geography, it's a little bit northwest of Newburgh. Newburgh. It's about an hour and a half drive out of the city. Nice little drive up to the orchard, the Angry Orchard.
Not the 6-hour drive.
No. Not the 6-hour drive. We keep seeing this. It's not new, but I mean.
And somebody knew what was going. Somebody knew what he was doing, I think, and just was fucking with him.
Oh, you think it was one of the friends?
No, not one of the friends. I think the fucking security guard.
Oh, there's a Negro here proposing to his girlfriend. Let's screw with him.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Why do white people do a lot of the dumb shit that they do?
But I mean, like, that would be like that. There's no reason for that. Like, there would be, I mean, it's much more likely that they were just profiling and not knowing that they were being racist, or maybe they knew they were being racist, but it's more likely that than they're just like, oh no, we're going to ruin these people's proposal. Like, I don't think it was that. I think it was just stupid people.
Oh, they're shitty enough people to be racist. They're not shitty enough people to just fuck with you just because.
I don't think that there would be no reason for that. Like, I don't see, I don't know, man.
There's no reason for trolls to be trolling you on the internet, but they do this shit all day.
I don't know if I'm more upset or more relieved if your theory is right, Kareem. Because, you know, maybe if it's a practical joke, then I'm like, well, maybe it's funny. Or is it like, no, they're just fucking with them because they're black?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Love of a t-shirt.
Yeah, I guess you have a better attitude.
Fucking t-shirt.
I don't know.
I mean, the fact that they didn't cuss them out. That was actually pretty cool.
Good. Yeah, they're very civil about it, right? They kept doing what they're asked.
Yeah, she's like, look, I understand you're doing your job, but why do you keep fucking with me?
Yeah.
Right.
I have to check your whole party.
Probably also you do it that way because you don't want to end up arrested in East Bejesus, New York. But
they were probably thinking, yeah, I will be on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram talking about Angry Orchard.
Yeah, I believe they're the cider company too.
I used to love their cider.
So fucking
I'm still a woodchuck guy. Woodchuck cider, Vermont made. It's the best.
I'll be drinking woodchuck from now on.
Or a Strongbow.
So meanwhile, there's a bishop that says gay people exist because pregnant women have anal sex.
Oh, that's true.
But that's not the end of it. Speaking at a primary school in Cyprus, he claimed that the enjoyment of the mother experiences transfers to the fetus, making the child gay.
Man, so much knowledge.
So his claim is that not just that women having anal sex while pregnant, if they're having enjoying anal sex while pregnant, that's why gay people exist.
Okay.
I've always known it existed. Like, that's.
Well, Jason says you're the only one that actually had a pregnant wife.
That's true. Now, everything I hear about pregnant women is there's lots of hemorrhoids and all sorts of stuff like that. So yeah. I would imagine there wouldn't be a lot of anal sex happening.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
And certainly not enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm not sure any woman. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's some people out there now, I guess, that really enjoy it. But the women that I've gone out with, like, I've slept with some women. But there's definitely only one that ever asked for that type of thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a rarity. It's a rarity.
How many pregnant women have you slept with?
Oh, lots, man. Oh,
okay.
That used to be my thing.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Oh, man. it's a whole subculture. You have no idea, man.
Mm.
Subkink.com.
I'm curious the biology in the bishop's mind about how that all works. There's a thin lining mm-hmm.
that's penetrated.
Yeah, I know how anal sex works. Jason.
Yeah, so there's that, but the gayness, mm-hmm. you know, and the passes through that membrane.
The enjoyment passes through from the anus all the way into the uterus.
So how does he explain lesbians?
Oh, well, that's a different thing entirely.
No one tries to explain lesbians, Kareem. I think that's really the takeaway here. So over the past week, President Trump tweeted that Representative Elijah Cummings' district is, quote, a rodent infested mess where no human being would want to live. Anyway,
Jesus Christ.
Sure. yeah. There's a commentator on CNN who was not pleased with this.
Morning, the president attacked another member of Congress on Twitter. This time it's House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings. He wrote this, Cummings' district is a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place. No human being would want to live there. Infested.
By the way, just as an aside, Jared Kushner and his family own properties in Baltimore that have had issues with mice.
Yeah.
So yes, there are infested places. They're owned by the Kushners.
That's usually reserved for references to rodents and insects, but we've seen the president invoke infestation to criticize lawmakers before. You see a pattern here? Just 2 weeks ago, President Trump attacked four minority congresswomen. Why don't they go back to the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came? Reminder, three of them were born here. All of them are American. Infested, he says. A week before his inauguration, January 2017, Congressman John Lewis should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart, not to mention crime-infested. Donald Trump has tweeted more than 43,000 times. He's insulted thousands of people, many different types of people. But when he tweets about infestation, it's about black and brown people. September 2014, at the height of an urgent health emergency, why are we sending thousands of ill-trained soldiers into Ebola-infested areas of Africa? Bring the plague to the U.S.? Obama is so stupid. Infested, he says. There's a revolution going on in California. So many sanctuary areas want out of this ridiculous crime-infested and breeding concept. Infested, he says. The president says about Congressman Cummings' district. That no human would want to live there. You know who did, Mr. President? I did. From the day I was brought home from the hospital to the day I left for college. And a lot of people I care about still do. There are challenges, no doubt. But people are proud of their community. I don't want to sound self-righteous. But people get up and go to work there. They care for their families there. They love their children who pledge allegiance to the flag, just like people who live in districts of congressmen who support you, sir. They are Americans, too. We'll be right back.
So, pretty impassioned statement, which, of course, will fall on deaf ears.
And I'm tired of trying to explain to black people that white people, I mean, to white people that black people are people. So, and the other part of that is, I find it the fucking hypocrisy of the media. So the media always shows cities like Baltimore and Chicago as poor and dilapidated. And then this shit happens. And then all of a sudden they start pulling up the actual data. Mm-hmm. For the poorest counties or cities in the fucking country. And they're all white Republican
areas. Like the bottom, the top 10 are fucking white Republican areas.
There's a lot of them in the South too, yeah.
Yeah. But you never talk about the motherfuckers at all. You know, you don't point those out when you're talking about welfare and all this shit. You don't, they don't talk about it at all normally.
To your point, I had the CBS Evening News on tonight and they were talking about all of the shootings in Chicago this weekend.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were a lot of people shot in Chicago this weekend, but per capita, compare that to other places where how many people were shot in, I don't know, Jackson, Mississippi, or
but that's using math and numbers and science.
Sure.
The 10 poorest, most uneducated states in the country are all Republican states.
And most of them are ones that take more from the federal government than they send to Washington, D.C.
All of them.
So they are, in fact, welfare states, but they will sit there all day and just complain that, oh, they buy into the stereotype of the African-American who's lazy and on welfare and not wanting to do anything, which is absolutely a horrific stereotype. I know plenty of white people that are on welfare. It's not a black or white issue. It's a socioeconomic issue. And depending on where you are, there are poor white people and yeah. There are poor black people and there are lazy white people and there are lazy black people because people are people.
Yeah. And then, but we're talking about that 30% that they're trying to, the Democrats are trying to get back.
Right.
Those motherfuckers are people that don't want to leave where they are to go get a job somewhere else because they want to do the shit that their parents did. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that black people figured out a long time ago is you got to fucking go where the jobs are.
I have, to your point, I have been out at networking events and I don't see people who hustle harder than black people at any of these events. The people hustling, the people having the conversations, talking about what they're doing, showing a ton of energy toward whatever projects they might have are more often than not African American. And yeah, there's all sorts of other people who are hustling, doing stuff, but it's always boom, boom, boom. I got this. I got this. I got this. I got this. And there's a passion to what's going on. So this idea is just, it's racist.
Yeah.
It's incredibly racist is what it is. That's all it is.
Yeah. You don't call me a racist.
Do you know what all of these people need, Kareem?
What?
A Jesus. Black friend.
Oh. Yes.
An actual black friend. Yeah. Not one that they say, oh, that's my African American. That's my black friend. An actual black friend will pull them inside and go, hey, stupid.
Yeah.
Stop it. So let's hurry this along because we're running a little later than we'd hoped. This came out this week. Ellen Barkin calls Captain Kangaroo and Sherry Lewis child-hating frauds. I love this story. Trailer for the new Mr. Rogers biopic, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, dropped it with Oscar winner Tom Hanks starring as the beloved children's television host. Now, there's been a lot of weepy viewings that followed. Now, lest anyone get the idea to pivot it to a whole host of kids' TV host biopics, actress Ellen Barkin is here to shut that whole business down. She tweeted, I'm informing you now, Captain Kangaroo told me to go fuck myself. Sherry Lewis refused to shake the hand of my then 6-year-old son. Don't try to make a movie about either of those child-hating frauds. And then there's 3 fire emojis.
Oh, I would love to make a movie about both of them and like how they like tortured children.
So people, of course, responded. Someone responded on Twitter, I worked for Captain Kangaroo in the 60s. I believe you. He wasn't a very nice man. Someone else said, Captain Kangaroo testified against me in a court case when I was 4.
Wow.
Right? There's somebody else tweeted, I met Sherry Lewis once and found her to be oddly rude. I don't want to analyze her, but I had the impression that she resented Lamb Chop's success and thought she wasn't given enough credit. And people said, hey, Ellen, don't leave us hanging. Give us the dirt on the captain. And she said, all in good time, my pretty, all in good time. So I can't wait to hear all the stories about Captain Kangaroo telling Ellen Barkin to go fuck herself.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Oh, we have the captain now.
Smell fuck yourself.
Yeah. And as she was walking away with her head down.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
That's what it all devolved.
Things you shouldn't say to a 4-year-old.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. It's all very bad. All right, let's wrap it up.
Hey, Ellen, your kid might have had a booger hanging out.
For small town news.
All righty. Let's go to Maine.
Maine.
The Bangor Daily News has some stuff. By the way, they've started to limit their free articles, so not that much Maine coming back. Headline, how these Maine downtowns turn themselves around after decades of decline. There's no more small town a story than that. A thriving downtown will thrum from with life from dawn to dusk. There's a sentence. A mix of longtime residents, newcomers, and tourists will line the streets, whether they are shopping, dining, or just enjoying a day in the park. The buildings will be well kept, and the storefront windows will be filled with unique displays from a variety of businesses, from grocers to gift shops. Now, lately, downtown Bucksport looks a lot like this idealized picture of a downtown, but it wasn't always that way. In 2014, after over 8 decades of operation, the Verso paper mill shut down in Bucksport, and the town was devastated. Over 500 employees lost their jobs, the town tax base shrunk by 40%, and the economic heart of town stopped beating. Though life as the community knew it in Bucksport seemed over, the town council, business owners, and citizens decided to turn their grief into opportunity. The community banded together to turn the downtown area into a place that people and perhaps new industries would want to be. Now, the redevelopment of downtown Bucksport really took off in 2014 when the mill closed, which seems kind of counterintuitive, but it's all about timing. Folks in the area got together and decided to really take on Main Street ideals. Main Street Bucksport, an organization dedicated to the revitalization of the town's downtown, formed weeks after the mill's closure announcement. Brooke Miner, the co-founder and executive director of Main Street Bucksport, said the group's approach to downtown redevelopment has been three-pronged: to cultivate existing business community, to personally work with potential new business owners, to highlight the area has to offer, and to host events such as the Bucksport Arts Festival and the International Maritime Film Festival to get feet on the downtown streets. That's what they've been doing for the past 4.5 years. Now, part of why Bucksport's seen the success is that people are working together. They work closely with the town, moving in the same direction with the same goals. And nearly a dozen businesses have opened in downtown Bucksport since that mill closed almost 5 years ago. So, a success story in small town news. How about that, gentlemen? How about that?
Wow.
Right? Right? How dare you? Are you diminishing small town news?
No, not at all.
Sounds like you are. I'm excited for Bucksport.
I am too. That's great.
It's just the sign that we all need to work together to succeed.
That's all we need to do. Main Street America, come together.
Mm-hmm. You know what else we need to do to succeed? Follow the timing, because this show was exactly as long as the others have been. So about that thing where I said we'd be shorter. Yeah. Not this one.
Yep.
Come, everybody, you have a great one. We'll see you on Friday with another fresh new episode of the WTH podcast. Bye-bye, everybody. Here the Black Keys.
fired from Moose Soup. That was freaking crazy.